Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Sometimes my wife says I talk way too softly. Sometimes I yell at her. So I said, well, you couldn't hear me. But anyway, today is Father's Day, and by the way, we would like to mention that those gifts are not only just for fathers, they're also for men who are not yet fathers. So we want to encourage you to take one. My pastor and I both have that book, and we've been going through it in our pastor's meetings. Now you'd say, well, they're going to be really difficult. No, not for me. But we're going to talk about how to be a godly father today. And I believe as we talk about that, you'll find that it not only applies to fathers, it applies to all of us. There's some things that are really important. And if you wonder why my hands are shaking, they shake all the time anyway. But I just want to start out by saying, in order to be a godly father, something has to happen in your life so that you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because to be a godly father, you have to know Him. Amen? And you have to love Him, and you have to understand what He's done for you. You know, you read through the Old Testament, and we got a good run through the Old Testament by Brian today. But you know, one of the biggest things in the Old Testament, it starts out in Genesis chapter 3, showing that man is a sinner. And God took them out of the garden because they were sinners. And they gave sacrifices because of their sin. Then God came to the nation of Israel. You know, that they were His chosen people, and they came to the point where God gave them the Ten Commandments in a system of sacrifices. And usually the sacrifices had to be absolutely perfect, because they were going to picture the God's final sacrifice. And the final sacrifice for sin is Jesus Christ. He died on a cross to pay for our sins. He's the perfect Son of God. He's God the Son, and He paid for my sins. He paid for yours. And without what He did on the cross, we could never come to have our sins forgiven and taken care of. We would never have a way of gaining into God's heaven and God's presence. And God made the way for us. And the tremendous thing is that God sent His Son as a gift. You know, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for who? Us. And if you've never trusted Jesus and what He did on the cross to be your Savior, I would encourage you to consider that seriously today. It's important that we know Christ as Savior. And what did He do 3 days after He died on the cross? He rose again. So we know that we have a living Savior, one that can save us to the uttermost. And we just come to Him in faith, trusting what He did on the cross. And I remember several years ago, when I was just a little kid. All right. A couple of decades ago. What? I remember the time when I was basically, when I was a little baby, on up till today, I've been raised in a church of some sort. But my dad was not always a faithful father. He ran a gas station and service and worked on cars. And usually he worked 7 days a week. Then I remember one time he was in it with his brother-in-law, and they sold the gas station. Dad said, "I'm not going to work on Sundays anymore, and I'm yielding my life to Jesus Christ because I want to live for him." And boy, did that change our family. Did that change everything? Because when Dad finally came around to following the Lord Jesus Christ as his one he wanted to live for the rest of his life, we couldn't see Bonanza anymore. That happened on Sunday night, and we had to be in church on Sunday night. And you know what a kid thinks like that? I mean, and there were so many other things that changed in our lives. I remember Dad was a heavy smoker, and he never, all of a sudden that was gone, just like that. And whenever there was something that needed to be done at church, my dad was saying, I'll help. And when someone needed to go out and visit some people, he'd be the first one to go. And I learned a lot from my dad. And I know this, of all the people I know that have passed on, he's one I miss the most. But before we get into the message, let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross to pay for our sin, who not only died, but he rose again that we might have eternal life through him. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts regarding what we as men and women and all who are here should do with our lives. I pray this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. One of the passages of scripture that we read today is in Proverbs, and I would like to have you turn to that with me again. It's in Proverbs chapter 1. Now, Solomon was a father, and he was the wisest man in the world that did stupid things. I mean, he tells us here, as he starts this book, these are things he's preparing for his children, for his sons. And he's trying to show them how they ought to live and get them wisdom and how to follow the Lord. And if you look at verse 7 with me, first of all, in chapter 1 of Proverbs, it says, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." By chains, he doesn't mean this is some kind of a burden. It's more ornamental. It's something that'll bring honor. If you'll listen to what I have to say to you, it'll help you all your life. You know, how many people have ever said, "My daddy said this"? How many have ever heard that before? Yeah, I think a lot of us have. But let me tell you something. If you want to share something good with your children, first of all, you have to know something good. Amen? You know, a godly father has to spend time reading God's word. A godly father and a godly mother and a godly person needs to be in the Word of God. It's one of the most important things we can do as We start our life to prepare us for when we have children and when we have a family, how to best teach them. And I think what Solomon did was he was trying to teach what he had learned. He had a father who should have taught him some things, David. I mean, David was a terrible father for most of the time. He lost a lot of his sons because of his stupidity. But I believe he did get a hold of Solomon, and he did share some good things with Solomon. And Solomon's trying to share things with his son. And this is an encouragement for fathers to be teachers in the home. We should be people who not only just take our kids fishing and hunting and doing all the other things, but we should also share what God has done in his word and in our lives. We should be people that share these things and prepare our kids for life. And we need to know these things. Secondly, I want you to take a look at Deuteronomy. We read that one also, and it's a very important passage in Deuteronomy, and it's in chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to start with verse 5. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these things which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." It's a great picture of what God wants, especially men, to do. Did you know that once you read the Word of God, there's something else that we need to do with it? What is that? What?
Apply it.
In other words, I know people that know lots and lots of Scripture, but don't know how to apply it. They don't apply it. They don't live it. One of the things we have to do is live God's word before our children. Amen? It's important that we live the life that we preach and teach. If we don't live it, how are they going to truly learn it? And I say, I'm not the best one at doing that either. You know, how many of you have ever messed up with your children? Oh my. We only had one, and I know I messed up many times. I remember sometimes that I got angry with my son, and it only took one blow to hit him to the floor. That was wrong. And one thing I know that you've got to do when you do something wrong before your children is what? You need to apologize and ask for their forgiveness. Because when you do something wrong, you've got to get it right. You can't, just because they're part of your family and they're stuck with you, doesn't mean you have to treat, you can treat them differently as you would everybody else. You've got to treat them right. You've got to be that person that's willing to say, I was wrong, and I need to have your forgiveness because I did wrong in this situation. And living it out. Well, there are several things that show how to live it out. The fruit of the Spirit is part of living out the Word of God, isn't it? How many times do we demonstrate love to other people? Isn't love one of the fruits of the Spirit? In fact, it kind of brings about all the rest of them together. How many of you like to grumble a lot? Boy, I'll tell you what, we had so much to grumble about this week. The church flooded. Richard was mowing the yard and the mower wouldn't start. And we had all kinds of things going on, and it's kind of hard not to say, oh man, all this crummy stuff happening now. I didn't really plan on mopping all day. Why does the basement stink so bad? But you know something? We have to show it. We have to show how God would want us to be in everything we do. And that's hard at times. Sometimes we just lose it. But this idea of when you sit in your house, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, when you, whatever you're doing, you have to show what you're teaching. You have to show what you're teaching. By the way, that belongs to all of us, doesn't it? Not just fathers, not just mothers, but other people that are involved in living a life before unsaved people. You know, if you're at work and people know you're a Christian and you don't act like one, do they notice it? They sure do. You know, I found out one thing. When people are making you fun of you at work and they're trying to get you to do things that are wrong, and you go ahead and do what they want you to do, they're the most disappointed people in the world that you did that. Because they wanted to see somebody that was real. A real Christian. A real believer. One who really loves the Lord. Amen? And then in Proverbs chapter 3, if you want to flip back to Proverbs with me, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Solomon says this to his son, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. What's the hardest thing for a dad to do is correct, sometimes chasten your children, isn't it? I remember one time when my son was being really nasty. I don't know, your kids are all perfect, I realize that. But he was being really nasty, and I said, you gotta stop this. I won't say what he was doing because I don't remember that far back. But I said to him, you gotta cut it out. He just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. I said, okay, it's come to that point. Bend over. And he said, I don't want to. I said, bend over. And I spanked him. And he felt it. And he went away the happiest kid in the world. He said, it was like saying, thank you, I needed that. And sometimes they just test us to see where we are. But chastening, we get chastened by God, not necessarily always for the things that we do wrong, but sometimes he allows things to happen in our lives to make us stronger. He allows trials to come, but he does chasten us for things that we do wrong. If we step out of line with the Lord, he doesn't want to have us stay there. He wants us to come back home. Amen? And then fourthly, I would like to bring up this with you. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 15. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Many of you have heard it many times. And it starts with verse 11. Here's a dad that was pictured by Jesus Christ. You know, someone says, well, why don't you preach a message on the good dads of the Bible? Have you ever looked for them? But here's a picture of a dad that was a good dad. In verse 11 it says, and he said, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a city of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son had said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Why did I read that passage? Because there's a lot of dads here who'd like to see their kids come home, right? Dads, when your kids get to be the age where they're able to make decisions on their own, they don't always make the right decisions. They don't always go in the right direction. They don't always do the right things. And sometimes they get into the world and the world has an impact on their lives. But you know something? You pray for them and you pray for them and you pray for them. And you pray that God would do a work in their lives. And God, at the same time, is working on their lives and on their hearts. And one day they come to themselves and they realize, I have been living a stupid life. It was better with my dad. Even his servants were better treated than I am now. I'm going to confess my sins to my dad and just try to be a servant. That would be better than what I'm doing now. But when he came back, you read that story over very carefully. It says, when he was a long way off, his dad saw him. That means the guy had been working with pigs. It didn't say that his dad smelled him, but he saw him. Means, I think he was looking for him. I think he's been waiting for him. I think he's been praying for him. I think he's been caring about him. And the dad ran to meet his son. And he grabbed him and put his arms around him and hugged him. And he was so glad to see him back. And the son began to apologize and repent for the sinful life that he'd been living. And his dad says, basically, I am just so happy to have you back. Let's have a party. And they were ready to celebrate because for all dad knew, he could have been dead. But now he's back and he's alive. And we got him back home and everything's forgiven. Everything is okay. We ought to just rejoice. And you know something? When Christians walk away from the Lord and then they come back, don't you think the Lord rejoices too? Don't you think he gets all excited and saying, wow, I'm glad he's back. Though I know the Lord knows everything. But man, I believe there's celebrations in heaven over things like this. But I want you to understand some things. Fathers never should hold bitter grudges against their kids. They should always be ready to forgive and to love. Amen? And that applies to us in other areas too, doesn't it? People have friends that they get crossways with, and sometimes they never are willing to forgive even though they ask. And there's never restoration. But this is important. The last thing I'm going to bring, well, in Ephesians it says this, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And basically, is it easy to provoke your kids to wrath? I think so. But it says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to love them and care about them, and let them know that you love them and you care about them, and they're worth so much to you. They're worth more than any bad behavior, and there are so many things that need to be realized here. This is important. Bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word of nurture seems to be building up their strength and their lives, building up them so that they are growing up. And the admonition of the Lord is telling them what the Lord wants them to do, and sometimes straighten them out when They don't do the things that are right. But that's extremely important. The last one I'm going to bring up is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. And this is something that I believe that Paul is saying to men. It says here, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm going to just throw something out to you. It's important that your children see that you, husband and wife, love each other. How many know that? That it's important that moms and dads love each other. I've watched it because of several years of counseling and different things like that. I've watched what happens when husbands and wives start to break up. I remember one situation where the little kid in the house grabbed dad's hand and grabs mom's hand and tried to bring them back together. Because that was the most important thing in that child's life, is that they loved each other. And I'll tell you something, that is important. That we love each other, parents. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, didn't he? And by the way, when we talk about church, we're not talking about this building. We're talking about the people who trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And that's who he gave himself for. But I want you to understand something. God wants us men to love our wives with all our hearts, willing to give ourselves for them. My wife and I haven't been married 50 years yet. And it's not even close, you know. But we're finding ways where we can just enjoy each other, sometimes in different ways that we haven't done in a long time. It's kind of fun when we just love each other. But it's important. It's important. It's important. It's important for children. Because all of their security is based in mom and dad. Especially young children. It's based in mom and dad loving each other. And without that, it tears their life apart. What does a godly father do? He teaches his children. He is an example of what he teaches. He chastens his children. He's willing to forgive and restore fellowship. He will bring his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He loves his wife as Christ loved the church. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we could just spend together today on this Father's Day. I pray that it's a message that didn't just go to dads, but it went all the way through. And Lord, help us to realize there's so much you want out of us. And help us to live for you. And help us, especially dads and moms, to realize how important the task that you've given us is. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you and commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 409. Hymn number 409.